my boy and welcome my boy to our gathering we have here every Sunday night. We always thank the Bnei Shalom. We thank the Bnei Shalom for this auspices that we have, be able to meet together. It's, I think, top priority to realize that being here, we have a mokoy, we have a chevra, that it's hashkocha protis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just them come together. If we're able to come together, be in this place, and have our people that understand and appreciate what we do here, so it's a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You did out the visit properly. So, what's your first name again?
Zev.
And what's your name?
Aviel.
Shalom aleichem. Welcome, my boy, and to our holy little group. And we have Yaakov. We have Shimon. Gevaldik Shimon. We have Moshe. We have Ravadia.
Hoshea.
I was close. Hoshea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice name. Anyway, it's Hoshea. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. So it's not getting close to Rosh Hashanah. We're about to light the candles. That's how close it is, that we say. Mamash right before Rosh Hashanah. And tonight we want to, the few minutes that we have, to speak about the Shefer, Beth Hashem Yisborah. Speak about the Shefer. Meisliches, and just like with the on Tisha B'Av, we have the what do you call it again? The kiddus. Always we advise to look it over a little bit. So now we have the slichus. So you should look it over. By say, to be, you know, I think the slichus from the Sfarishim, I think, are more, they talk to the Indian and open and talk to the thing. The slichus from the Ashkenazim, like the kinnis, it's like remozim, and so it's good idea, which I say, look it over a little bit, you know, because just to at least one of the slichus to understand what you're talking about. Okay. What?
Or they should come to Sparta.
I can hear you.
Or they can come to
Sparta. Just so easy, you accept.
Yes.
You get into the club so easy. Just you have to have the sechus. So the Maisha Beisai, let's see what we want to talk about today. So one thing I'd like to tell the Oilam, just we have Hamlocha Meruba, Man Kosser. So we have to select what we want to speak about tonight. I thought that maybe we get here a little bit earlier and go through a little bit of the framework, the halachic framework of the. Most people don't have an idea of just the basic halachic framework of the Shefer. You know, what we do with the Tashrat, the Shatarat, the Samachalagish Tanoyim, and what we're doing is that we're being Yeser. Most people think that, like by Tefillin, you have four parshas, and Dalminim, so you have the Dalminim, and by Shefer, you have Tashrat, the Shatarat, that's like the parshas of the Tefillin. But that's not the case. It's that in the Torah, you have the word Truah, Yom Truah Yelechem, and you have a three-way Machlekes, what that true is in the Torah. So when we blow Tashrat, Tashat Tarat, so we're being Yaseh three different shittas. And we do it three times because you have a lima in the Gemara that everything, that you have to, whatever it is, that true you have to do three times. So you have the three different shittas, and we do it three different times. Like, it's very important to know that also. Why is it so important to know it? Besides that, you feel a closeness with even the ruchnius of it, if you have an idea. But besides that, let's say, let's say, Chas v'Shalom, it shouldn't happen to any of us, but sometimes during a matzav, that you only have a few seconds to blow, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you have tefillin with two parshas, you might as well not put it on, you're not doing anything. Because what I just said is the machlokes, three different, you know, shittas, tashrat, tashrat, tarat. So if you only have a few seconds to blow, so let's say you pick tarat. Tarat, you know, here, tshuva, true is the shita of the Mishnah, the tanoim of the Mishnah, the true, what we call true. So you take tarat and you blow it three times. Yeah, so you yaitzeh with the sheet of the Mishnah, right? It's not like putting on tefillin with only one parsha inside. So you see, mekayim the mitzvah, I believe the Tana, right? You're on good ground, you know, it's not doing nothing. And you do it three times. And then another idea that the Gemara brings, that I just said you do it three times. That's the way possible. But some Tanoim hold that only one set is the right set. Only one set, and the other two are drabonim. So imagine, everybody say, you only have a few seconds to blow. So you blow tarat one time. You know, you'll say, oh, you shave 100 koilas. 100 koilas. And you have the 30 koilas derisa. There's no 30 koilas derisa. There's only 9 derisa. And we do each one we do three times to get 30. But let's say you have a few seconds, so you blow a tarat once. So you use the derisa, and that shita, that there's only one time of derisa, we bring it la'alacha, if I say so. One line, you know, and according to Rashi, a trua is only three truas. We do it, you know, 9. We do a lot. Da, 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 da. But according to Rashi, it's only three times. Da, da, da. So imagine, and probably according to the Rambam, also it's like that. Just like a short coil. So. And the Yaitza minimum, Rabbi Say, just that's why one reason good to know that law. Okay, Rabbi Say. So one thing I'd like to share with the Olam very quickly is that the Olam's thirst for things to think about, you know, when you're blowing shofar. You know, what can I think about in the shofar? So of course the Mekubalim, they have Kabbalah, they have, you know, the Kis, they have Rizal, and all the Kabbalot, you know, but we pressure the people, so what can we think about when you hear the Shofar? So the Sadigon brings 10 reasons why he blows Shofar. So like I thought that his reason, he doesn't bring his Kabbalahs, but we could use his 10 reasons for, you know, things to think about when you blow Shofar. Now, I suggested that the Olam look it over, and the Olam have a chance to look over Rav Sadigon, Rabbi Sadigon. Well, you weren't here last week, and you weren't here last week. But anyway, if you didn't look it over, Rabbi Sadigon, I have a paper over here, you know, with the Ten Kavanas. What I did, Rabbi Sadigon, is that, you know, you have the Ten Kavanas, so to use it practically when you're blowing shofar, it's very hard. Like, what are you going to think about the 10 things, you know, flowing around, you know, just in your mind, the 10 things. So, look, Hashem gave me Sefer Shemaya, we blow 10 koilas, right? I mean, the basic format is 10 koilas. You have tashrat, tashat, and tarat. You do it three times, but the basic format is tashrat, tashat, and tarat. So, what I did was that anchored down 10 kavanas of Rav Sadigon to these 10 koilas. So at least you have a practical way of using the 10 that you can put it into the koilas when you're listening, from Rabbi Sai. We're singing in a way that you can see what I'm doing, so maybe it'll come out even more clearer.
Maybe we should pass out the papers.
Yeah, we should pass out the papers. And I see I have it. You know, so we can pass out the papers. Okay. I'll do it over here, you know, on the big paper, so the others understand what I'm talking about. We have it over here. So, but I'll do it over here, so it'll be even more clear, right? So the basic format, Rabbi said, is that you have a tekiah, shvorim, shua, and tekiah. And then you have tekiah, shvorim, tekiah, and tekiah, shua, and tekiah, right? So now, you have, right, you have the ten kavonos of Reb Sajigo, right? So, the Maisa, what we do is that we anchor down these ten kavonos to these ten koilas. Now, I'll show you how we do it. Now, the first you have to know when you're Seiber by Sai is that you have the tekiah and you have the beginning at the end, and you have the shvorim true in the middle, and you have the shvorim in the middle and true in the middle. So besides the fact that they're different koilas, they're different, but there's a major difference besides that in the machshava of the koilas also. Tekiahs are positive malchus, shleimus, right, chesed, rachamim, right. And the shvarim, the shvarim, the truah, these are negative shlili, Rabbi say. These are the tzaras. This is the crying for the tzaras, Rabbi say. And the tekiahs are the positive, right? So now, what you have over here is three tekiahs that are the beginning, you know, the beginning of each set, and the three tekiahs is the end. And then in the middle you have these four koilas, right, which is the tzaras. Now, it just comes out Hashkocha, Rabbi Sai, that the first three kavonas of Reb Sajigo and the last three are positive, right? And the four in the middle, right? Four, five, six, seven are negative. So Rabbi Sai comes out very geshmak, the first three kavonas of Reb Sajigo. So you have, you know, the first three tekiahs that you have, and the last three kavonos of Reb Sajigo is the last tekiahs, right? 8, 9, and 10, right? And 4, 5, 6, 7. So shvorim shua is shvorim is 4, and the shua is 5, and this shvorim is 6, and the last shua is 7. Rabbi Sai. So that's the arithmetic how it works out. But besides, you know, the geometry of it, parameters of it, but the logic of it, the svara of it also works out very beautifully, as they say. The first kavana of Reb Sajigo is, it's in the paper over here, is Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, right? That's the first kavana. Then you have Shvorim Shua. So what happened? The world is Bishleimus, the creation of the world, Shem is Melech, and then we deviated. So what happened? The Nevi'im came and they gave us the Musa that we should do tshuva. So that's the Kavanah 4 of Reb Sajigo, right? It was the paper there. Then what happened? The Yidden didn't listen, so the Goyim came and punished us. So that's Kavanah number 5, that Hashem, remember what Mibnecha, that the Goyim came, Mibnecha, the Galina Miyaseinu, and the Machan the Beis HaMikdash, and have Rachmanis on us with what the Goyim did. So what's going to happen, Rabbi said, we're going to do tshuva, we'll come back to Hashem. And Kavanah number 8 is Kibbutz Goliath. Kibbutz Goliath, Kibbutz Goliath, Rabbi said, we're going to do tshuva and have the Gula Shalema. That's Kavanah number 8. Right. Now you have the second set is Kavanah number 2 is what we announce that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I give you my children, I give you 10 days that you can have a pardon, attend a seris mei tshuva, where it's easier to do tshuva and the tshuva is accepted. So that's kavanah number 2, right? And then you have kavanah number 6, Akedis Yitzchak. Now Akedis Yitzchak is a negative thing, it's shlili, right? Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, shech your son, right? That's negative, and Akedis Yitzchak is the yisoid of kabbanis, which is the yisoid of tshuva, Rabbi Sai. So that's connected with the Aseres Mei Tshuva, and then what happens, Rabbi Sai, that we do tshuva, and Yom Din HaGadol HaNoira, that the Baruch Hashem is going to, take out, you know, v'havir rishis min ha'aretz, that the ra is going to be taken out from the world. So that's kavana number 9, Rabbi Yisai. Kavana number 3 is matan Torah, right? That we blow to be maskir matan Torah, Rabbi Yisai. What happened to Matan Torah? Kol chodla kolech ma'oid, and like the Rambam says, halo yishma kol shayfi v'lo yichrad, right? So that's a negative thing. You're supposed to have a pachad and a yira, you know, from the sound of the shayfer, which of course fits in with Har Sinai, and Har Sinai kol shayfer halech v'chodla ma'oid, right? And what happened? Rabbi say pachad nishmasam and Har Sinai from the pachad and the kol shayfer. Then what happened? The Gbarashim was Mechaya, right? The Chai Israel died in Har Sinai from the Pachad. Hashem was Machzir in the Shema. Rabbi say, so what's Kavanah number 10? We're Maskir Tchias HaMesim, Rabbi say. Baruch Hashem. So that's Rabbi say, Baruch Hashem. The what? And the Chreinus?
No.
This first one is the creation, and Hashem is the Melech, right?
One point said that the middle phase is
really. Right. It's positive. It's all, well, yeah, I just meant it's positive. It represents. Also, the same thing, all three, right? In other words, the first three and the last three is all positive, right? And then it represents the kingdom of Hashem and the Rachmanis of Hashem and the Chesed of Hashem, all positive things, right? But each one is different in the positive. It's like this is Matan Torah and this is Seres Mei Tshuva, right? And this is Kippus Kolius, but they're all positive things, and the middle are all negative things. Okay, good, Rabbi Say. So that's Aleph. Now, secondly, what I want to do with you, now, Rabbi Say, I'm going to bring different kavanas, so what I suggest is that the mushal, you can have different kavanas, so you can't do all of them at one time. So we blow many times, so like you devote like at least one set to the Rav Saadi Golan, right? Now I'm going to do a different thing with you, Rabbi Say. Rashi in the Gemara, in the Sugya, in Rosh Hashanah, you know, I told you, we repeat everything 3 times, right? Like you said, like Tashrat you do 3 times, and Tashrat. So Rashi says in the Gemara, every time the Gemara says you have to do it 3 times, so Rashi says here, Rav Moshe, something very, very important. But I don't know why the Olam is not oimed on it. Rashi in the Gemara there says that every time the Gemara says you do this 3 times, Rashi says once for Malchus, once for Zichronos, and one for Shafers. Now that's a very big chiddush, because the person you would say the Indian of Malchus and Shafers is the psukim that we say in Musaf. Right, that you have to tend to sukkim the malchus. So it's nothing to do with the etzim, the kol itself. No, it's we say these psukim in Musaf, and then we blow shofar like to give chashivas to the psukim, or to, you would say, to raise the psukim, you know, that should go the kaviyochol to the shemayim. But the kol is one thing, and the psukim of malchus is a different thing. But you see from Rashi, you hear Shimon, right? That a very deep thing, that the koilis itself of let's say Tashrat, Tashataras, each koil in itself is intrinsically malchus, and intrinsically zichronos and shofars. There's something in the koil itself that's malchus. I would venture to say that the psukim, on the contrary, the reason why we say the psukim is to be megala, the panemius of the koil, which is malchus, right? And the other would look at it that the koil is to the malchus of the psukim. And what we're saying now, according to Rashi, is vakeret, the koil itself is malchus, and we say the psukim to be megala, what the panemius of the koil is, right? Now, what I'm telling you now, Rabbi, is very important, and I don't know why people don't talk about this, but you look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, about 6 or 7 times, Rashi keeps repeating over and over again, every time it says, and this you do 3 times, you say, you repeat the quote 3 times, Rashi says, achas, the malchus, achas, the shloines, achas, the shayfres, right? So, I think it's, apropos, I think that it's in place, which say when, let's say we blow Tashrat 3 times, so you should think, one time the Malchut, one time the Zichronis, and one time for Shafers, right? We say. So, I mean, you have the Kavana of a Tzadik going, but at least, some of the times we do this many times during the course of the blowing, before Shemun Esrei, during the Seder, after Shemun Esrei, and most places today, they blow, Koilis and Riyot, all kinds of Shitas. So every time you blow 3 times, at least some of the times you should have in mind Malchus, Sechronis, and Shafers. Okay, Rabbi Say. Now, this very, very much Bekitzer, Rabbi Say. When you think of Malchus, that means I'm blowing Dor to be Mamas Hashem. Sechronis is to, Hashem should, have Rachmanis, remember us, remember Klai Yisrael. Shafers is what? But remember Shafer. Now, I bring up a very difficult shaila that what are you supposed to think of by member Shafer? Malchus is Pashit, Sechronis is Pashit, but member Shafer, what are you supposed to think about when you say member Shafer, Rabbi Say? Now, it's a very difficult shaila. I'll give my own personal opinion about it, and I'm just telling you, it's so important because Malchus is important, and Sechronis is important, so Shafer must be just as important. So what do you think of? It must be just as important. So the Gemara says, the Shafer is Bamer B'Shafer. How do you do it with the Shafer? So what do you think of? How do you do it with the Shafer? What is the Kavanah you're supposed to have? You say Bamer B'Shafer. So I'll just say over, just because, briefly, I can give it over, but the thought that I want to say, that we don't realize that with the Shafer we're blowing Malchus and Zichronis, that it's not just like we're using the Shafer, duh, Malchus, duh, Hashem remember all the Tzaras, duh. It's not just Hashem remember, it's going very, very deep into the, close to the real, the Baruch Shalom, the Kisei HaKavod, in a way that you can never ever get there except with the Shafer. The Shafer is a tool that enables to get the B'nai B'fnim close to the Baruch Shalom in a very, 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 very deep way. That it's called B'fnai B'fnim, like Kotche Kotchim, it's like you're going mamish into the Kotche Kotchim. You can imagine how deep it is. That it's getting very, very close, mamish kaviyachos, to the Baruch Shalom himself. You can't imagine how deep it is, and it's a two-way thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us, the Kohel Hashem, through the Shafer. It's really, if we knew what it is, it's a mamish apachad what it is. So, and we don't realize that the only way you can get so deep and to ask, appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the tzoras, is with the Shafer. You're going. So, and we have to believe that Munu Shalema, that we're doing it with that Shafer, where my member Shafer, that with this Shafer, I'm mamish being mamlech Hashem, that the Shafer is a tool that I'm really getting in there, and I'm getting also the voice of Hashem back. So when we say by member Shafer, so you have to, you're blowing with the Shafer, to acknowledge the fact that I believe B'Emunah Shalema, that I'm now with the Shafer, I'm really being Mamlech Hashem. I'm blowing the Shafer to acknowledge the fact that B'Emunah Shalema, that with the Shafer, I'm really getting to the mouth of Hashem. And B'Emunah Shalema, I'm acknowledging that with the Shafer that I'm blowing now, that I'm really appealing to him in a way that I can't appeal to him ever in such a way except on Rosh Hashanah with the Shafer. In other words, you're blowing now to declare that I believe that with this Shafer right now, I'm really getting to him to appeal with him. So, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Okay, that's that. Now, we only have a few minutes left, everybody. So, I would like to do with, maybe I'll stay a little bit later tonight. I don't know. I can get trapped the bus maybe with the other place and other stuff.
mean, the Stama is another bus at 9, but it might be 9:30. I don't know when the bus is. 9:20.
No, I'm saying there's another place you can have the bus, and a later place.
By the time you get there.
Bus?
By the time you get there, I don't know if it's saving anything. Maybe a little bit, maybe.
All right, so Rabbi Yishmael, I want to say something, another very, very important thing, With the Shefa, we're crying for the tzaris, right? Everybody's saying, with the Shefa, we're crying for the tzaris. Which tzaris? Which tzaris are we crying for? Tzaris of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? You know, the Spanish Inquisition, that we're crying for, or the Crusaders, or the French, what they tortured the Yidden. You know, what are we crying with the Shefa? We're really crying for the tzaris for today. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm sharing something with you that I never heard people talk about, and it's a pella because what I'm saying now I think makes a lot of sense. And I ask Chashuv people, and they say I'm right about it. But for some reason, I never hear people talking about it. What I'm saying now that when we're crying with the Shefa, so you should think about the tzaris that you have today. That the sound of the Shefa, the crying place, right? The Shrom Shrua. You should be crying with the tzaris you have today. So I think it'd be apropos, if we say, to think about the tzaris they have today. You know, I think one of the places I got the idea from was I once heard years ago, Shem Chassidus Rebbe. So it was years ago when the Yidden were in Russia still, and you know they couldn't get out, and the Russians were, you know, torturing the Yidden. So this Chassidus Rebbe, when he blew Shofar, so the few kids that were able to get out, you know, were people that were able to escape. So when he blew Shofar, he asked that all the children from Russia, they should stand around the shofar when he blew Shofar, and they should put on the Russian caps when he blew Shofar. And then he blew Shofar, all these kids standing around. So why did he do it? Why did he do it for? So you know why. Chassidus Rebbe, he knows Kabbalah, probably up here, the Rizal, up here, Gematrias, up here, Soides, you know, who knows, the cap is one thing, the little kids, all kinds of Ramazim, Rabbi say. I'm sure that's what everybody was thinking. Mordechai Dolinsky, that's me, Mordechai Dolinsky. So, Mordechai Dolinsky, I don't have any Sovik, I'll tell you my pshat. What he was doing was that the Shefa is supposed to cry to Hashem for the tzaris. So he was saying that Hashem, look at these beautiful little children that are standing around me. That in Russia, these little children that are sitting and suffering, these little delicious, you know, beautiful little children, have rachmanis on them. And he was able to be more kavana when he was blowing, that he should have Hashem have rachmanis on these children. That's what he was doing. You know, not the Arizal, not the Kabbalist, not the Matrius, not, you know, that's what he was doing. So, like, he was more to me this Indian that when you blow Shofar, so you should be more the tzaris of the time, I might say. So, what I did was that I tried to crystallize, you know, the main tzaris that they have today. Now first of all, what I just want to tell you an interesting thing. The Kaf HaChayim rings, I don't know if it's Kabbalah or what he says, that before Shemun Esrei, you should be mechaven to mevat al yetzahara of Avodah Zarah. On Shemun Esrei, you should be mevat al yetzahara of Gilui Arayos. After Shemun Esrei, the Kaf HaChayim says that you should be mevat al yetzahara of Shemitah Stormin. And the 10 kolos we blow afterward, he says you should be mevat al yetzahara of Lashon Hara. So I think like this. Try to crystallize the main tzaras I think that we have today is, first of all, the biggest tzara is Das, right? That the Yidden, Achmanistan, so many of them went off the Derech, you know, the Kaifa, they don't even know the Yidden, they don't keep the Torah in America, you know, so, you know, millions of Yidden all over the world that they defaulted away from Hashem, away from the Torah, right? That's the biggest tzara that we have today. So, before Shemun Esrei, well, first we have the four tzaras. The Kaf HaChayim says that Shabbat Le'etzahara of Avodah Zarah. So the problem of the Yiddish guy, so we should think of before Shemun Esrei, which is proven with what the Kaf HaChayim says, the Le'etzahara of Avodah Zarah, which is Inyan of Das, right? second big sorrow I think we have today is the Indian of Rachman Islam, the divorces and Shalom Bayis. And so many boys and girls don't have shidduchim. Thousands of boys and girls in America here that don't have shidduchim. And then you have almanis, and you have almem, and you have gerushim, and gerushais, if I say, you know, and you have nus going on, terrible nus going on. So all that is connected with the Gilead Raya. So the Rav Chaim says, Dershman Esrei, you think about the Yetzer of Gilead Raya. So that's the time to think about the surahs of related to those kind of things of divorces and shalom bayis. That's number two. The third surah I think we have today is Rachman Islam, the sicknesses, Yena Machla, Rabbi Sai, the heart problems and the soldiers, Rachman Islam, that were killed, Hashem Yirachim. Yefta Shmanesrei, Yetzirah, according to Rav Chaim, of Shuchas Domim, so this is the time, I think, Mechurin, to think of the Tzoras to come out from, you know, from Dam, from diseases and sicknesses and accidents and soldiers and these kind of things, that we say. So I have this on the paper here, Rabbi Sahih, here you have. And Yeftishman Esrei, that Rav Chaim says, Lashon Hara, then you can be common for the fourth surah, big surah they have today, of Aniyas Rabbi Zai, so many people are poor, you hear stories of millionaires, that you have to give them a piece of chicken for Shabbos, a piece of schmaltz herring for Shabbos, really good, Rabbi Zai. You know, I'm sure we're all aware of the terrible problems of existing economical problems today, which I think are four problems. So we put that on the fourth thing, what the sign says, unless you hurry, the fourth thing. Okay, let's say that's we have the paper over here. We have these different things here. I wanted to bring to attention another important Indian, very, very, very important. So is that clear, these things that we said? This thing about the four surahs I have over here in the top corner here. Another nekuda that I want to bring up to the oilam, a very important nekuda, Rabbi Sai, that is that a big avoida for Rosh Hashanah, one of the main avoidas, like we mentioned, is the malchus, that we're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, another in the world. Now, there's a big problem that we have with this, is because we don't really know what a malchus is. We never saw a melech. Maybe when you were a child in the coloring book, you saw a picture of a king, some silly-looking person with a crown on his head, always on the side of something, you know, some silly picture. You know, that's what we know what a melech is. But you have to understand that malchus was a moridika thing. It was a thing that a melech was grandeur, you know, like a big palace and power, but at the same time a real melech loved the people and he helped the people. I'm not talking about beard king, but normal regular melech was somebody that tried to help the populace, so you liked him, but on the other hand you were afraid of him because he was powerful and, you know, and it represented power, but at the same time he divided the people with things, and we can't even describe it because I'm describing something that I never saw. But the way we understand what melech is, we say melech, you tremble from a melech. You know, just even David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech, he's a Hamisha king, you know. They kill him. When, you know, that's one of our boys, they say. David HaMelech, you know, maybe to the Goyim, he acted like rough, but Melech, to us, you know, David HaMelech. You know, Rabbi Zai, you know, when you wanted to talk to David HaMelech, you had to lay down on the ground, you know, that with your face facing the ground. You had to, you know, that's the way he spoke to David HaMelech. Even a Jewish king, that's the way he's supposed to talk to a king, with fear and, you know, trembling. Even though come on, Davar Melech Tehillim, we come, we'll sing Esa Einai together, you know, the king, you know. King is a king. Even I say a Jewish king, you have to tremble for. We loved, you know, a Jewish king. We loved. He was our king. But a Melech is a certain kind of a Messias that we can imagine. It's grandeur, and it's something that you have an awe from, and you respect, but you are afraid. And it's a whole thing, a Malchus. I always think of just to show you that we don't even know what it is. We have no idea what it is, if we say. Esther Malka, you know, in Purim. So the whole story of Purim, that she wanted to go into the king, her husband, you know, and she wanted to invite him, right, to the party with Haman, right? What did she do? You know, Mordechai said you should, you know, that she should go and appeal to the husband, to the king, the Seged the Yidden. So she decided to do it with the party, right? Invite him to the party. So she had to invite him to the party. So, I don't know if it ever stuck into your head what the Kosher chant in Megillah is. I'm not telling you any Roshim or Kedushim. I'm just telling you the Kosher chant in the Megillah, right, which I don't know if anybody ever thinks of. Kasher Vati, that she put her life in danger because she went and had the chutzpah and the audacity to request to speak to Ahasuerus, her husband, without being called. Isn't that what happened? No? That's what it says there, that Kasher Vati Avarati, that she went in, but she didn't run into him. She just stood over there, like, asking that she could speak to him without him requesting it, and she putting her life in danger. That's the Pashup Shat there, no? We think that Esther, she's his wife, the Rebbetzin, you know? So, you know, over, you know, a royal cup of coffee in the morning, you know, with eating coffee, you know, drinking coffee together, royal coffee, the royal dishes, her hair, you know, she's part of the expression of being rollers, you know. In the morning, they have, you know, breakfast together, the king and the queen sitting in with a Danish, with a royal Danish, and drinking the coffee. So, you know, over the coffee there, you know, so she'll ask him, you know, maybe we can come to the party. I would like to dare, I'd like to invite you to the little party we're going to make. No problem, it's the wife, so I'm sure that, you know, they speak together. You see, over here, that she wanted to ask him this, so she had to stand there, and he was he could have killed her, right? Kasher Vati, that chutzpah, that she's standing over there, and I didn't ask her to come, and it depends on, in other words, he could have killed her. I mean, that's the Pashup Shat, I would say, that he could have put her to death because she was standing there without being called. Now, am I losing myself, getting too excited? I'm just saying over what I said in the Megillah. You know, I had a tremendous hanor, Rabbi Zayn, what I'm telling you. I'll tell you why. You know, we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, we daven Shemoneh Esrei, uvechein tein pachtecho, uvechein, right? Chein tein pachtecho, in the davening. So I always wondered, what's the pshat, uvechein tein pachtecho? Why do we say uvechein for? It doesn't make too much sense there, uvechein. It's like the beginning of the sentence, and it doesn't really make too much sense, uvechein. I don't know if you ever thought about it. So I thought about it, it doesn't make too much sense. So the Holy Art Scroll, in the Art Scroll Mazzerim, it said, this is what it brings down from the Torah. You wouldn't believe it, if I say, you'll have a tremendous hanor. It says in the Art Scroll, that the Holy Art Scroll, and I mean, I think he brings it from the Torah, he says that word uvechein comes from the Megillah, from Megillah Esther, and from the Megillah we see a lesson of how a person has to be afraid of a king because of what I just told you. So that word uvechein is a reference to Megillah Esther, that we have now we're davening Shemoneh Esrei, and we're supposed to have a feeling that Kadosh Baruch Hu was a melech. So the Vechein is a remez to the Megillah Esther, where we see the tremendous manifestation of what Malchus is, that Esther Malka, how she was afraid of her husband. That was my fault. And the Mepharshim say that that's the Mechain to reference to Esther, because you see there the Paka that
we have the ability to come into the Hashem. It's just Beit Shuvah, the time Hashem is allowing us to come. It's
right, 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 right. Which is again another manifestation of the same thought, even more deeper. Right? Yeah. It's Kelet, but they say no. So, Rabbi Say, in a few days we're going to be standing and trying to daven to Hashem and trying to relate to Him as a king. So you see from this that we don't really understand what a king is. Now, if we really saw a real melech, so then it would be hard enough to relate to Hashem as a melech, because, you know, you have to superimpose what you know as a melech and put that on Hashem, which is not easy to do. But let's say you don't even know what a melech is, so it's almost impossible, if we say. But you don't realize how hard it is. I don't want the Olam should be insulted. I'm also among you, if I say, but I think that we're guilty of not really being mechaven anyway so much, so we don't realize the problem. In other words, if we're really mechaven, we truly want to mechaven, I think we'd be more sensitive to the problem. You know? But because it's lacking sometimes in the kavana, we don't realize that we have this problem. That how are we going to relate to you, Hashem, when I don't know what a melech is. That's what a Rosh Hashanah is, that we have Mamlech Hashem, you're the melech. I'm saying a word that I don't really, you know, feel what it is. It's a problem, as I say. Unfortunately, I say again, unfortunately we don't feel the problem, because we don't think too much anyway. But just one, as you want to hear another thing, just along the lines of this thing, there's a I was once talking about this Indian, what I'm talking about now, and somebody, Chashur Yaman, found in the Mishnayas, so in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a certain thing that they hang on the wall in the Beis HaMikdash. A certain cleat they hang on the wall. It's not one of the kelim, the chumash or anything, but it's something that hangs on the wall in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Farshim say what this kelim is. Listen to this, Rabbi Say. Listen to this. Here at Moshe. The Farshim say, I think it's Kerash Yisrael or something, when the Farshim on Mishnah say that this kelim is something that a melech used, the king. And we want the kohanim, the Beis HaMikdash, they should feel the malchus of Hashem. So this is something that a melech knew, so they had it was hanging there to help the kohen to relate to Hashem as the melech by looking at this kli that's hanging on the wall. This is mamish the nekudah that we're talking about. No, it's mamish and mamish gazak. This mamish yisoid that we're talking about, that in the Beis HaMikdash here, the kli that was put there from the melech to help the kohen feel Hashem as the melech. Yeah, mamish Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, okay. So this is nekudah, and just the fact that we're aware of this, what I'm mentioning, is enough to know that we should be aware that it's a problem, but we say. What the solution is, unfortunately, I don't know, I'll just tell you a kibun, a direction, that maybe can help us a little bit, you know. It's not a small problem, because one of the most important avoidance we have the whole year is this Rosh Hashanah, that we have to think of Hashem as the melech. So one key word of which I was thinking of is that in our lives, we we speak about this in our Chabura here in our Dubia often, that Hashkocha Pratiyas, we see Hashem in our lives every day in Hashkocha Pratiyas. And we speak about here in our Chabura, that when you say Hashkocha Pratiyas, it means you're supposed to feel that Hashem is really, really, really with you. The God that runs the whole world, the whole universe, the sun and the moon and all the nations and all the kings and all the cells in our body, He's actually with you. Tell me, oh, it's that nice. Isn't that nice, Hashkocha Pratiyas? Do you realize what you're saying? Hashkocha Pratiyas means you really believe that Hashem is on your mind, that knew that you were thinking of meeting that person. The Barisham, the Bari Olam, that runs the whole world, do you realize what you're saying? That He's really with you, and He knows that you were thinking this thought. If you just take that seriously, it's mind-boggling. Such a thought like that. Hashkocha Pratiyas, write it down in a little book. Hashkocha Pratiyas, it's phenomenal that the Bari Olam that's running the whole world, He's actually with you, and He's walking with you, and He knows what you're doing. You say, can you prove it? I can prove it. Like I was thinking about George, and then I meet him in the street. I just proved it, you know, that I was thinking about this person and about that, and then, oh, there he is. That means Hashem, the God of the universe, the creator of the world, is actually with me in my head. Like, if you take that seriously, it could be Ein Lechom Malchus, God will be there. That's the greatest Malchus. So Ein Echanami, He's not sitting in a palace, and He's not sitting on a throne. He doesn't have a big crown on His head, but it's a kind of malchus that may be greater than the palace and the throne and the crown. To believe really, to take it really seriously, that He can be with every person, that if you believe that He's running the world, to have time to come and sit in your mind and to realize that you want to meet Reb Shlomo and speak to him about something. Where's the best makola to buy the best shmaltering? Or where can you buy, the nicest jewelry to buy your wife a present for her birthday? And you want to meet this guy because he knows the best places, and then, oh, there he is. That means Hashem was with you in your mind, and you were thinking that you would like to meet this person that you really believe seriously. If you took it seriously, you would faint from Pacha, that Hashem that's running the sun, you see the sun moving, it has to be run by somebody. Who's running it? Hashem. So the one that's running the whole world, like the president of the Medina, let's say, the head of the Medina, they come to your house and start talking to you. To me, the one that's running the Medina is coming to me, to my house. What about the one that's running the whole world, the sun, the one that's making the sun work, and the moon, and the oceans, and the whole world, keeping it going, and he's with you, speaking about, when do you want to meet this guy so you can ask him which store to go in? Is that possible that he should be? He's there. Can you prove it? Sure, I can prove it. The proof is that I just met the guy. I haven't seen him, for 2 years. And then, okay, one time it happened. But it happens all the time, if I say, all the time it happens. See, Hashem is with you. The five people this morning say, you believe in God. We don't just believe it, we see it. We that believe it, we have it in our lives. Every day you see Hashem. Every day you see it, in the daily life. A person has his eyes open. You see Hashem is in your life every day. You can see it. Can you prove it? Sure, I can prove it. I see He's with me. He's with me. He's in my thoughts. Anybody that has his eyes open, you can see Hashem with them the whole day. You can see it. It's the Rachmanis on the Shilonim, because they don't believe it. They don't look for it, and they don't believe it. But they're missing the biggest proof. They're missing the biggest proof, because if you believe it, so Hashem blesses you that you believe in me. I'll show you. I'll be with you. And He's there. He's there. You can't deny it. You can't deny it. You see it. Is there anybody over here in our group that doesn't see Hashem in their life every day? You can see it, Mamash. With you. He's with you every day. You can see it. It's Mamash. What bigger Malchus could we have than that? it's much higher than the King of England, let me say. The palace with the crown, with the golden chariot, with the horses, let me say, and the royal band, walking, the trombones. This is a malchus. It's a different kind of malchus, but I think it's much greater than that kind of malchus. And also, I say, the Zohar says that before Mashiach, the Mayonis of Chokhmah is going to open up. So anybody, I don't know what level of secular knowledge you people have, but even on a layman level, they have the books today. You talk about the DNA, and you look at a basic book about the Bria. You can faint also from it's so awesome, as they say. It looks like science fiction. When you read about the Bria, about the blood, and about the kidneys, about the liver. When you now that these books, they have even on the layman level. I don't know if any of you look at these books, but if you want a little bit more, ask.
We're gonna have to take his name in front of the Rav, I think.
Hoshea.
Change my name just for you.
Hoshea Samecha. I made a code, Hoshea Samecha, and I have to remember the code. Hoshea Samecha. Ask Hoshea. Okay, wait, say so.
I have to go.
Write your address and telephone number down. I want to call you. I'll give you the right one.
I have help, but I sent my number down. Okay.
Where do you live?
I'm here in the neighborhood.
Well, how did you know that we're related?
I was spoke to you on the phone from a while ago.
Yeah, all right, good.
Stavsky, phone with Stavsky.
Yeah, right. Okay. Do you know my son lives in the neighborhood?
Lives here in
the neighborhood? Yes. Look him up, Eli Dolinsky on Sorek 23. I just discovered a cousin.
I'm
really a close
in the morning.
Some people said it. Yeah, his schedule. Neil. Listen, be in touch with my son. Call my son, Elio Dolinsky. I'm so right. What?
Who's Nate?
That was his grandfather. That was Shalom's grandfather, Nathan. Right. I know him well. No, it's very, you don't have so many relatives, and the guy sitting here, and he ends up, really close relative. I met him, I never saw him.
We should finish.
We're finished now. Bemis. Okay. So, what I've been telling you about is an idea, and Malchus, just to sum it up, the Hashkocha Pratis, and also from the Giluyim of the Bria, Kulam B'chok Matzisa, it's another type of manifestation of Malchus that you never think of Malchus in this kind of a way, right? You never think of this, in this idea, in this, that this should be a concept of Malchus. Again, we think of a royalty and a palace. So maybe it's Ben HaShemayim even that we don't have the palace, because this maybe is the greater, not only don't we have the palace, we have something greater, that maybe this idea of the Hashkocha Pratius and about the Giluyim of Kulam B'chok Masisa, right? And Hoshea, he's a mumcha in this field of Chokhmah Sabriya, they say. Maybe someday we should let him come up to say over some of the somebody. I believe that somebody studies the Bria, they say. It's Sita Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? Hoshea that we see it, Mamash, the Nefesh Hashem, Mamash, in front of your eyes. Okay, Rabbi Say. So that's it, Rabbi Say. We did Reb Sadigon, we did the Kafa Chaim with Rachmanis and Tzoris, Rabbi Zay, and we did the Machos, Sifan Shaifers three times, right? And now we did this Indian of Stam, the Machos Hashem, the Machos on Rosh Hashanah. Does anybody have any Shilas, anything that we spoke about tonight? No? Okay, listen, we wish everybody in our Kabur here and not only Kabur but in the whole shul and all tribes, I wish you all every day. You should have a wonderful year, you should have Riyut, you have Riyut, and you should have Parnasa, and you should have Nachas, your family, Nachas, people that you must be on. You should have Shalom Bayit with your wives, and you should be able to continue your growth in Torah and your Shemayim and leaders, like the way say. And it should all come together. It should all have Emes, Simchas HaChayim, and we should be circle all of us to see that the Or HaGadol Kavod Shemayim should be Niskala, Rabbi Say, Bekorov, Bekorov, Bekorov.
Amen.